when Jesus Christ told the disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me," he was actually saying, "Do this in remembrance of the Lord's body." It is not in remembrance of a terrestrial man called Jesus. See, many of us don't realize that Jesus Christ had already let go of that life as a man. He had let go of that life. By faith, he was now living in newness of life according to the revelation that Father had given him. Jesus started to live according to that life that is from eternity. He began to live as the life of the Lord from heaven, and which in reality is his real life. See, if he had continued on living as a Hebrew man born of Mary, see, you probably would not have heard of him today. But he had that revelation from the Father of his true identity, and he grew in that identity. Praise God. And when he says, "Do this in remembrance of me," he's speaking out of a consciousness of the Lord from heaven. Not in remembrance of a man with long hair, blue eyes, but rather in remembrance of the Lord's body, God's body. Praise God, we are all partakers of God's body. God wants to remind us, educate his people today on the Lord's body, and, you know, cause people to once more realize the meaning of "the Lord is my life." You see, that is the salvation. The salvation is that the Lord is my life. The Lord is my light, the Lord is my life. When Christ, who is our life, appears, we appear with him. Our salvation is the Lord is my life. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. In that day, you will know that you are in me and I am in you, and you are in the Father God. And that is the end of the faith. It's your awakening back to this reality that your life, the life of God, is your life. Praise God. Now, God's body is not, like we know, it's not a body with form. It's not a body that can be described or understood by the human intellect. So you need spiritual communication, not to spiritual communication, to understand that invisible body of the Lord, what the body of the Lord really entails. So when you understand this fully, you understand that you are an integral part of that body. That's why Paul says that one body, many members. Now, where do you think Paul got these things from? Paul got these things by revelation. Praise God. If you read through the Old Testament, you see that the Lord has systematically indicated using allegories a body that is composed of many members. Hallelujah. Whenever the Lord appears, he appears with myriads, with a company of invisible hosts, celestial hosts. In the Old Testament, they appeared as clouds. At times they appeared as chariots. At times they appeared as pillars of fire. But generally speaking, whenever the Lord appears, he appears as a multitude. Even if an angel appears declaring the name of the Lord, or a messenger appears, bear in mind that behind that messenger, there is a myriad, innumerable company of invisible hosts speaking to that one messenger. Ezekiel saw a body, this same mysterious body, out of heaven. And from his observation, he saw that the body was composed of multitudes. Multitudes, hallelujah. Myriads. Daniel saw this body, who spoke with a voice of multitudes. Hallelujah. Ezekiel also saw this body arising out of the valley of dry bones. So this is the army of the Lord ascending back into glory. Oh, hallelujah. Now, where men miss it is that man senses himself to be independent of the eternal Spirit of God. The eternal Spirit of God, the invisible Spirit of God. Praise God, there has been a veil over our minds because we've all lived according to the flesh. We've all lived a life, a terrestrial life. And in this lowered state, man has kind of sensed himself separate from God. And the things of God have become very mysterious. To the extent that when men see, if you notice when the Old Testament characters had visitations from above, they were always filled with fear. The things of God have become, you know, things that, you know, invoke fear in men. Men are terrified at the things of God. When an angel appears, normally the angel will say, "Fear not." Why? Because man has lost all trace of spirituality. And the things that pertain to God are normally tormenting to men. Men have a very negative impressions of the things of God. Even when Mary received the messenger from above, she was troubled. And that same voice, "Fear not." Hallelujah. Fear not. Always fear not. Because men have become creatures of fear. But men of this age don't know themselves that in reality that they themselves are angels. Hidden underneath this human appearance, this thick skin, hidden behind this box, this human identity, is an angel of God, a morning star, a celestial being that is waiting to be rediscovered. And rediscovering that inner man is the salvation of the Lord. Then you will know that all things are beautiful. Then you know you reign over all things when you can discover the inner man, which is what we call Christ in you. This is the messenger of God in you. This is the angel of God in you. Praise God. Paul in a letter speaks about this unveiling of God's mighty angels. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul speaks about this manifestation, hallelujah, of God's mighty angels from heaven. Oh, praise God. Whom God will use to convict this world. Now, who do you think these angels are that are to be unveiled from heaven? God's mighty angels. They are all within you. See, the work of the ministry is to unveil, to bring to light this creature of God, this personality of God, who is from eternity. Hallelujah. Praise God. When John the apostle saw this angel that had brought the message to him, the good tidings, that gave him a load of revelations, showed him the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven and all that. What happened? John tried to worship this angel. And the angel told him, "See that you do it not. I'm one of your fellow brethren. We are brethren. We have the same substance. See that you do it not. Do not worship me. worship God. I am a brother like you. I'm one of the brethren like you. Praise God. That means that same angel could have even been Jesus. It could have been another messenger. It could have been Moses. It could have been anybody. It could be you that was speaking there to John the Apostle in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Praise God, one of your brethren. And Jesus Christ said it. I go to my Father, your Father, my God, and your God. Go and tell my brethren, I go to your Father, my Father, my God, and your God. So you can see it's all interchangeable. Jesus Christ is very much like that same angel, and we also are very much like that angel. But we must realize this. Praise God. Every man must awaken to this reality that within him there is a personality of light, a glorious personality who partakes of the glory of God. Hallelujah. You know, right within the tabernacle of Moses, the temples of old, you will notice the designs very well. They had cherubims that was woven over the linen cloth that was in the inner temple. They had cherubim, you know, in the inner courts, in the holies of holies. All these things point to a hidden personality that is within man. Over that structure, there was a covering of thick skin, a dense covering of dense animal skin that covered the tabernacle of Moses. Why? So that those who are without could not even see what was within the tabernacle. That is how we walk as men. As men, we are unaware of the invisible things of God. Our humanity, our human nature, our human identities hide this glorious personality that is within us. I know men grow up in darkness, trying to perfect the outer body, trying to heal the outer body, trying to, live long and all that kind of stuff. And you see, but that is not the message that Jesus Christ brought. Jesus Christ brought a message to reveal to us the inner man that does not die forever. He lives on forever. The real I. Oh, hallelujah. The creature of God, the messenger of God. The one that we call Lucifer. Hallelujah. We're going to talk that, in a short while. Praise God. This is what God, the ministry of Christ was here for. To awaken man to the inner man, to the celestial man, the angelic being within you. So when you begin to recognize the angelic being within you, who is part and parcel of the body of Christ, part and parcel of the glory of God, you've escaped the corruption and the wasting that is in this world. Tribulation, pain, sorrow, anxieties, fears, torments, sense of lack, inferiority complex, and just name it, the innumerable things men are subject to in this world, simply because they don't realize their boundless, invisible self, the glorious, splendid self that they are. Praise God. When those angels appeared from heaven in the days of old, the book of Revelation, you see when the angels appear? Mighty angels appearing from heaven. Normally glorious, light, mighty. Normally strong looking and mighty and full of light. That is the man of the spirit. That is the inner man. That Paul says be strengthened in the inner man. That is the inner man. That's the angel in you. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Even Jesus Christ descended from heaven as a messenger, as an angel of God. That's why he will make statements like, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. See it? Another one, he says that, for I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. I just read John chapter 6 verse 38. John chapter 6 verse 38. So you can see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the begotten of the Father, also manifested himself as a servant of God. The Son of the Father and a servant of God. He says, I go to my Father as a son. I go to my Father, and as a worshiper and as an angel, a messenger, I go to God. It's one and the same thing. See, there's no God here, there's no Son of God here and angels here. There's nothing that created angels who function separately from sons of God and all that kind of stuff. In the spirit, you can be anything. So when you walk in the spirit, you are everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see in the book of Revelation, I think chapter 21 or 20, when the mighty angel comes down with a chain in the hand to bind the Satan, the devil, the dragon, and cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, that is the messenger of God. Jesus even acted in that capacity. He was one who descended from heaven. He said, no one has been to heaven but the Son of Man who descends from heaven. And he descended from heaven to do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? To destroy the works of the devil in our life. What is the work of the devil? The work of the devil is to hide, to shield you from the true light personality that you are, who is one with God. See, the devil imprints you with the mark of the beast, which is the terrestrial human nature, sticky human nature, that ties you to time and space and to a material dimension where things are always changing and all that kind of stuff. It deceives you into thinking that that is your place, that's your origin. Praise God. Deceives you into thinking that you are naked, that you are incomplete. Because as long as you walk in the flesh, you can never sense completeness. You can never know completeness. There will always be something to do. You always have to attain to. You always have to get perfect. You always have to do something new, to improve something and to do this and to do that. It never ends as long as you live in the flesh. See, because the flesh realm, or this realm that men live in, where things change, where things are governed by time and space, and you know, things change constantly. In this realm, you can never seem to, you know, get a goal that is unchangeable. Something always changes here. It's just impossible. There's nothing like perfection in the flesh. There's nothing like perfection or being good in the flesh. See, what you call good might be bad to somebody else, and what you call evil might be holy to somebody else. So in this realm of the flesh, it's hopeless. Praise God. So you must loosen yourself from the terrestrial, from the mark of the beast. Praise God. The angel or the messenger of God that descends destroys the works of the devil by revealing that you are an integral part of the Lord's body. See, he has come to give an understanding that you are in him. Praise God, that is the understanding he has come to give, that you are in him. And this is the true God and eternal life. He has come to give you an understanding that you are in Christ Jesus, that you are in the body of Christ. This invisible, incorruptible body that abides forever. You are an integral part of that body. You are an angel. You are a messenger that is interwoven with that body. Whenever an angel comes, like I said in the first recording, angels don't have a self of their own. They don't have a being of their own. They don't have an identity of their own. They live solely on account of Jesus. Hallelujah. They live only solely on account of the name of the Lord. Praise God. That is all. An angel has no ambition, He has no personal life. An angel is spirit. An angel simply lives on account of the name of the Lord. So we don't have lives or identities or personalities apart from that which is the Lord God, the one who lives forever. Everything that we put our hand onto, our identities and all whatnot and everything, is only a figment of our imagination, and that is passing away. John says that, you know, the world is passing away and all that is in it, all that is in this dimension, is passing away. But those that do the will of God abide forever. Praise God. Those that do the will of God by hearkening to the voice of the Spirit in this hour and awakening to truth. That's all you do. That's all you need to do. God simply wants you to walk in the truth. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the invisible. Walk in reality. That is all he wants you to do. It's not about drinking no beer, it's not about dancing or not dancing. It has got nothing to do. What it has got to do is an awakening. And that is what God came to preach or declare to humanity today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our healing, our wholesomeness comes in the recognition that the Lord is my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's go back to concentrating on angels, angelic beings, the secret of angels. Hallelujah. We must understand that word angel is interchangeable with pastor, with minister, praise God, with messenger. Hallelujah. They are all interchangeable. So when you hear of a pastor, a true pastor, a pastor is not somebody that goes to Bible school. Praise God. A pastor is a messenger of God that simply stands and abides in the name of the Lord. See, and when you hear the voice of the shepherd, of the true shepherd, or the true minister, or the true pastor, because the pastor is a shepherd, what he does is actually to declare the name of the Lord. So he declares truth, because all that the minister does is to see truth and walk in truth. So he declares the name of the Lord, and he speaks by the same voice of the Lord, and that same voice is heard by the sheep of the Lord who join themselves with the Lord. My sheep hear my voice and they know my voice. The angel of the Lord declares, he speaks with the voice of the Lord. When we hear of the archangel at the sound of the last trumpet, the shout of the archangel. The archangel is not somebody out there in the sky. It's not somebody that appeared some years ago. It's not somebody that's going to come tomorrow. It's simply a body of people that are announcing or declaring the name of the Lord, bringing to light the hidden things of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And as you hear the voice of the Lord as the angel, whether it be Michael, it can be, you know, in the Old Testament, Daniel referred to him as the archangel Michael, which means who is like God. The archangel Michael stands up. See, and when the archangel Michael stands, what he does actually is to declare truth. He simply says truth. That's all. He speaks truth. That's all. And those who are sleeping in their human sense of life awaken from the dead. You see this in the last chapter of Daniel, that those who are asleep in their graves arose from the dead as The great prince, which is the angel Michael, stood in their midst. Now this angel Michael, like I said, is a messenger of God who does nothing but declare truth, speak the truth. And those who are sleeping in their graves sit, those who have all along had their true identities hidden under the rubble or the, you know, the earth, their humanity, awake from that deep sleep back into their eternal abode in God. They are waking back to the reality of their angelic body. He says that the righteous shall shine in the star, you know, as the stars forever. Those that turn men into righteousness as the stars in the firmament, you know, forever, and as the bodies in the firmament forever. Now these are the morning stars. Hallelujah. When John saw in the book of Revelations seven stars, the Pleiades, seven stars at the right hand of Jesus, you see, the Alpha and the Omega appears as Jesus in the book of Revelation chapter 1 with seven stars, and John saw these seven stars. And of course, it was explained to him that those seven stars are the, you know, the messengers of God, the angels of God, the servants of God. Now, it does not mean that there are seven literal bodies, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the sky somewhere. No. Those are allegoric numbers. Praise God, in the spirit realm, one can be a billion. One can be one. Praise God. You must understand this. He's speaking about the messengers of God, the angels of God, who stand at the right hand of God. These are the morning stars. This is what the Bible calls the morning stars, who are the right hand of God. Meaning that they live in the elevated heights of God. They occupy the place of God's throne, God's glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, there's nobody sitting down in the sky with a physical body on a big chair and angels on the right hand and that all that kind of stuff. Those things don't exist. When you hear the right hand of God, you are speaking about the place of authority, the place of the fullness of God. These personalities, these mighty angels, like Paul calls them in the book of Thessalonians, are actually personalities who are living in the truth, who are walking from the dead, living in the realm of the spirit in timelessness. Praise God. As the messenger stands in our midst today, we are hearing, when you hear a message like this, you are actually hearing the voice of the messenger of God bringing an awakening to those who are asleep. What a message like this will do is to awaken you, that you are not a mortal. You don't have to deceive yourself and suffer down there in the earth, trying to make healing, trying to change things down there, trying to make a new thing, trying to do things, work out your salvation on the earth. You don't work out your salvation on the earth. Rather, you are awake from the earth. You are awake from the dust. And you will discover that the Lord made you perfect and complete. Don't be deceived. You are perfect. You are complete. You are wonderfully made. You are the image, the brightness of His glory. You are that morning star, that Lucifer that we see in the book of Isaiah. That is what you are. Praise God. You know, people have read these scriptures over the years and they've referred to Lucifer as some kind of devil who fell from heaven. Of course. Of course, when you understand in reality that in your humanity you are like a devil. In your humanity you actually bear the imprints of the devil. You have the imprints of the mark of the beast. So to some extent, those who say Lucifer is a fallen angel, who is the devil, to some extent they get it, but they get it wrong when they try to point outside or think of one personality with a tail somewhere underneath the sky or in the heavens or whatever. Because what we read in the book of Isaiah about Lucifer is actually a parable of yourself. See, when we live terrestrial earthly life, we've actually become devils. As a man, you are like a devil. That's why Jesus Christ will always turn around and tell the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people, that you're all offspring of what? Of serpents, of vipers. It's pointing back to that same serpent from the beginning, that devil, the liar, who deceived man from the beginning, deceived man, you know, causing him to think that he's a terrestrial being, a mortal being, separate from God. So as Adam descends to the dust and starts to live as a man, in reality what we see is a devil. The horns growing out of Adam and the tail and all that kind of stuff. And Adam becomes a liar. So we should stop pointing fingers out there and all that. You discover that your problem is actually the nature you walk in. The terrestrial, devilish nature you walk in. See, James writes that when you have disputes, contentions, bitterness, strifes, envy, quarreling, and all the problems we see in this world, you have those things, they are earthly and they are what? They are devilish. That which is terrestrial is what? Is devilish. It is a realm of darkness and death. It's not about not drinking beer, about not going to church. It's not about code of conduct and all that. It's a nature that is actually contrary, a false identity that is contrary to that which God intended for man in the beginning. Praise God. So we see how Lucifer falls. Praise God. I'm going to just read briefly because these are very long scriptures. I trust that you can go back and read these things by the Spirit and the Lord will give you light. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows, hallelujah, the worms is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? See, Lucifer is the bright and morning star. Have that fallen, son of the morning. Praise God. He has fallen from the heights of heaven and he has been cast down. He has been cast down into the grave, into the realm of the grave where the worms don't die. See, when you hear worms and caterpillars and all that in the Bible, it's actually speaking of corruptibility. See, the angel of light, Lucifer, the son of the morning, the bright morning star, is actually an immortal creature as long as he maintains himself in that consciousness. Praise God. He's immortal. He can never die. Praise God. You light a fire or put on a light somewhere, you will never see a worm going near that fire or that light. It's impossible. Praise God. See, the bright and morning star, Lucifer, the son of the morning star, represents immortality, the consciousness of pure light. It's a pure spiritual being, a celestial being. But he descended from heaven and was brought down to the grave. He died. Spiritually speaking, hallelujah. See it. He was cast down from the heights of God, down into the pits, into hell. You think hell is somewhere you go to when you die? You better understand that you're already in hell when you don't know yourself the way you are known of God. When you don't know yourself as that true, bright, and morning star who lives forever. You're already in hell. See, and the worms and the caterpillar and all that we have will continue feeding on you until you come to the place where you know yourself the way you are known of God. Until you know your true identity and stand your ground in your confession of Christ. Praise God. Now, these scriptures that we just read in Isaiah chapter 14 are similar to the scriptures in Ezekiel chapter 28. Praise God. Ezekiel chapter 28, it speaks about the prince of Tyros. This prince of Tyros, hallelujah, who was cast down from the heights of God into the depths of the sea. You see this in Ezekiel chapter 28. I'll just read a bit. Now, this is a bit long. Like I said, I cannot read all of it right now, but I trust you will go back to read them. Hallelujah. I'll just start from verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyros, thus says the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the sea, yet thou art a man and not God. And thou hast set thy heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hid from thee. With thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and thou hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore thus says the Lord God, because thou hast set thy heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defy thy brightness. Thou shalt be brought down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Hallelujah. Would thou yet say before him that slay thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slay thee. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have said this so, thou was upon the mount, holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Praise God. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reasoning of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Praise God. Now, we're seeing here a personality, the king of Tyros, who actually is an allegory of man. This is an allegory of man as he continues to fall out of favor with God in his transgression. Now, when you read this thing, it's as if God is punishing somebody, isn't it? That God is angry with somebody. That God is letting out the rod to destroy somebody, to punish somebody. You see, but that is not how these things can be interpreted according to the Spirit. These are parables. Praise God. Now, if you have a fire out there, and you put your hand in that fire, would it burn you? You know, if you have a blade or a knife, a sharp knife out there, and you take that knife to cut, you know, rub your hands against the edges of the sharp knife, wouldn't it cut you? So let us not think that God does anything to any man. See, God is not out there seeking to punish any man or destroy any man. See, these personalities we just read, right from Isaiah chapter 14 on Lucifer, and we read from Ezekiel about this cherub that covered, this anointed cherub. See, that was in the midst of Eden. That is anointed cherub that was among the precious stones in Eden, among the stones of fire. We see those same stones mentioned in Eden right here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. This cherub is an angelic personality. It's a celestial personality, a mighty personality in God. Actually, it's one that walks in the name of the Lord, that walks in the glory of the Lord. Praise God. Let us not ever think that there's anything like a God here, angels here, servants here, sons here, and all that kind of stuff. They are all one in God. Without God, there are no angels, no messengers. And without messengers and angels and sons, there's no God. It's one body revealing the eternal name of the Lord. So we must understand the oneness that we have with God. These parables of Lucifer and of this cherub, which we call the Prince of Tyre, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, are actually allegories of man. Allegories of men as they descend from their place in God. When we put on the nature of mortal man, we actually transgress against the name of the Lord, because we are not generated as mortal creatures of the earth. Romans chapter 1 says that man exchanged his glory. See, in the transgression, man exchanges his glory for the glory of mortal man. So Adam, the celestial creature of God in heaven, in the Garden of Eden, changed his state. He became a terrestrial being, a man of the dust. Dust you are, dust you return. Adam descended and became a terrestrial being. So this, what we just read in Ezekiel chapter 28, is very much the same thing with what we see in Genesis. The anointed cherub, the angel, the messenger, the personality who lived as God in the name of God. But he descended. He exchanged his mindset and became a mortal man of the dust. He conformed himself to the terrestrial, to time and space. And as a man, he still wants to be God, but it's impossible. Don't you see men up and down trying to be God? So they want to be worshipped, they want to be honored, they want to be exalted. Don't you see that men seek to be God? As a natural man of the earth, you cannot hold on to the name of the Lord. That's why he says that I will not give my glory unto another. Sweet. If you must be partakers of the glory of God, you must understand your true identity, your true nature that is in God and are working back into it. But as a man, you always remain outside of the gates of heaven. So in his deceit, this personality called this cherub in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 is cast to hell. Is cast down from heaven, from the heights of God's holy mountain, Mount Zion, and cast into the midst of the sea. You see, the sea, where he talks of being cast into the midst of the sea, he talks of the abyss. The abyss where there's abject darkness, no understanding. Where there's spiritual death, no understanding, when man loses awareness of his life, that the Lord is my life. Praise God. Now we have meetings, we have conferences, we preach these messages, and very few people will ever turn out. So always pockets of people, 10, 20, 30, maximum 60. At times we have 5 people that turn up to hear the word. I'm talking of physically, we still have audience that are dispersed all over the world. Why? Because men are not understanding what the gospel is all about. So people, you hear the minister of God, oh, he's healed many, many people, he's healed thousands, oh, thousands at the at the revival, and oh, I'm healed, praise God, run around the stage, run, praise God, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, oh, testimony, oh, I got a job yesterday, oh, testimony, I made my business work out well. A lot. No, see, this is not what Jesus Christ came for. We've got it wrong. Praise God, Jesus Christ came to reveal the cherub, that mighty personality that is in you, the angel that is in you, the one who is knitted with the glory of God that is within you. That is what Jesus Christ came to reveal through the gospel. To reveal to you that the Lord is your life. When you begin to realize that the Lord is your life, you can stand upon Mount Zion, upon that holy mountain once more, and realize the beauty and the glory that you are. You can realize freeness, love, peace, power, spiritual power, and all those other things that you run about looking for are added to you spontaneously. Because the earth and the fullness thereof is mine. Praise God. Let us be strong, brethren. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us today in the church. Hallelujah. He's revealing to us our true natures, our identities. See, an angel is not somebody with wings that flies in the sky. Of course, we see in the book of Revelations several accounts of angels with wings. See, there was one account where the angel was flying in heaven, declaring the everlasting gospel. We see this in the book of Revelation chapter 8, verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet, Hallelujah. Of the three angels which are yet to sound. Are you listening? I just read Revelation chapter 8, verse 13. But if you go to Revelation chapter 14, this is another account of an angel flying. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, the sea, and the mountains, and the fountains of water. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Praise God. So he sees an angel descending from heaven, having the everlasting gospel with him. Isn't it wonderful? Declaring to those upon the earth to repent and to give glory unto him that created the elements, the earth, the things on the earth, the sea and everything. Oh, hallelujah. Now this angel was flying. Somebody will give an account and say, but why did that angel fly? I thought you said angels don't fly. Praise God. Now that angel could be you preaching the gospel. You know, Jesus Christ flew also. You know, Jesus Christ was constantly in the heavens. Praise God. Even though he had his body, his members, physical bodies upon the earth, you know, he was in the heavens. No one has been to heaven except the Son of Man who is in heaven. As he went about declaring the gospel, he was actually flying in the heavens, preaching to the inhabitants of the earth to repent. Repent, time is fulfilled. Repent, change your mindset. Turn back to God, your life. Repent, change from the terrestrial, be conformed. Change your mindset. Sit. Restore your mindset from that of a man of the dust and begin to think once more as God. Praise God. Open your eyes and begin to see the living God. Walk in the living God. Begin to see the creation. Begin to see God in the creation. Hallelujah. The one who created the heavens, the seas, the earth, the things underneath the sea, and all the elements of the earth. Seek that God and begin to walk in relation to that God. Walk in that identity. Begin to see that God. Praise God. That's why in another account, an angel appears saying that he swears by him that liveth forever, the one that created the heavens, the seas, the earth, and the things that are in it, and all that stuff. Why? Because the angel lives on account of the Lord. God wants to restore his people back to that place of all power. The angel that flies has the power to fly as he speaks the message of truth. See, it's your confession of truth that will make you to fly in the heavens. Oh, praise God. You begin to fly in the heavens, in the spirit, in God's kingdom, in God's realm. You begin to experience the heights of God once more as you exercise yourself to speak the truth and to declare the message of the kingdom. Praise God. That's why you see all throughout the angel, the Bible, the flapping of wings of the angels. Hallelujah. The flapping of wings of the angels. See, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 10, let's just read this fast. Hope I'm not taking too much time. Let this message, this ministered life unto you. See, God wants us to know the angelic being that we are, the mighty angel within us. See, when we know it, the angel is unveiled. Praise God. And when we can rediscover the inner man, which is the angel, the angelic being, the cherub within us, then we can understand a fulfilled life, live a life free from the corruption that is in this world. No more worms to feed on you. You can live in a dimension of eternity right now, upon God's holy mountains. You can experience Eden right now. Praise God. Ezekiel chapter 10 verse 1. Then I looked and beheld, and behold, in the midst, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubs, or the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, go in between the wheels, even unto the cherub, and fill thy hand with coals of fire from between the cherubs, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherub stood at the right side of the house when the man went in, and the clouds filled the inner court. The glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full with the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the cherubim's wings were heard even to the outer court, as the voice of the mighty God when he speaketh. Now just mark it. Ezekiel chapter 10 verse 5. See, he heard the sound of the wings of the cherubs. The cherubs are angels. These are angelic beings. Praise God. And the sound of the cherubs' wings was heard even to the outer court, as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. Are you listening? This is prophetic utterance. This is a parable, a spiritual parable for us to uncrack. Right onto the outer court, Ezekiel heard the voice of God. And actually, it was the sound of the wings of the cherubim or the angels that actually sounded as the voice of God. That was the voice of God. What does it mean? Those cherubims are actually cherubs. They are celestial personalities. They are you and I. Praise God. It's you and I in our glory. That is the where God wants to elevate you into. Praise God. As they flap their wings, Ezekiel hears in the outer court the voice of God. Why in the outer court? God wants that voice to be heard without. It is the voice of truth. It is the message of the kingdom, declaring the name of the Lord, that besides me there is no other one. I am the beginning and the end. I live forever. That is the message that lifts up these cherubims. They fly on the wings of truth. And what is truth? Truth is simply recognizing the name of the Lord. And that is my life. If you can get this mystery, if you can get this revelation, you'll be flying with the wings of the angel of God. It is the message. Hallelujah. God wants to lift you up out of the midst of hell, from the depths of the sea, so you can find your place once more among the stars of God, so that you can once more shout among the morning stars of God. It's a great thing, isn't it? It's a message. See, as you speak the voice of truth, as you speak truth, Isaiah 58 says, as you begin to speak my words, the word of the Lord, no more your words as a man, but the words of the Lord from heaven, as you begin to do the will of the words of the Lord, as you begin to walk in the name, as you begin to walk in the name of the Lord, once more stand in the eternal name of the Lord, walking in the Spirit, you begin to be lifted up once more out of the grave and rediscover yourself at the right hand of God. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whenever those cherubims appeared, God appears with them. And whenever God appears, those cherubim appear with God. They are inseparable from God. Praise God. Right there in the inner sanctuary of old. Praise God. In the tabernacle of Moses, in the temple of Solomon, all these are allegories. All these are presentations, allegoric presentations to teach us about the invisible things of God. Moses created a structure, an ark, overlaid with gold, and at the edge of the ark were two cherubim which had wings spread over the ark, and the glory of God will normally appear in between those cherubim. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you can see that those cherubims are always, they've always had something to do with the glory of God. They are interwoven with the glory of God. Hallelujah. The cherub that stands upon Mount Zion, God's holy hill, is actually one with the glory of God. And this is the realm God wants us to lift his sons back into. Hallelujah. Those that are worthy to stand in that age, to walk in this new dispensation, are like unto angels. It's a celestial state of pure spirit, immateriality. A state of pure light. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is opening the graves today. Those who sleep in the sea, in the midst of the sea, in the depths of the sea, can comfort to declare the mighty name of the Lord. Praise God. John saw this. Daniel saw this. They saw a people coming out of the sea. These are those who have been cast into the midst of the sea, like that cherub that we read in Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28 spoke about the cherub, that anointed cherub that covered, that was cast into the midst of the sea because of his transgression. Praise God. His heart was lifted up to gain merchandise, to gain this world. What shall it profit a man if he gains this world but loses his soul? To be increased with the material goods. See, the cherub became a man of merchandise, a trader. Seeking the glories of this world. And hence he lost out of his place in light. But today God is telling his sons to awake back to truth. Hallelujah. I fly today with on the wings of truth. Rediscover the personality in you that swears by Him that lives forever. A personality in you that sees only God in all things. A personality in you that says 24 hours a day, holy, 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 holy. It's all about waking to truth. Get a revelation of yourself and loosen yourself from the corruption that, you know, this world signifies. God bless you.
He is the Lord.